Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on what has been a lively and spicy Wednesday. We are going to discuss constitutional crisis. You keep hearing that word. What's going on there? We'll discuss it. We're going to discuss J.D. Vance going over to Europe and pretty much pulling their pants down and giving them a spanking. That was always fun. And peanut butter, emails, and more coming up on the final hour of the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's do a little Communism 101 here. We're always going to come back to this so we learn what we're dealing with. We're going to learn why they do the things they do. Because it's going to explain a lot about the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life. Undoubtedly, you are a person who consumes political news. You're listening to me right now. Maybe this is the only show you listen to or watch, but I doubt that. You probably watch it on TV, other podcasts, radio shows. That's the normal people. People like us don't watch and consume one thing generally. And I have no doubt you've heard them say the words constitutional crisis at some point in time over the last couple days. They're all over TV saying it every single second.
And what we are witnessing is a constitutional crisis. We are seeing an executive branch that has decided that they are no longer going to abide by the Constitution in honoring Congress's role in the creation of the agencies, in their role in deciding where money is allocated.
Constitutional crisis over and over and over and over and over again. They've been using the words so much, Caroline Levitt actually attempted to try to quash some of this from the podium today.
Many outlets in this room have been fear-mongering the American people into believing there is a constitutional crisis taking place here at the White House. I've been hearing those words a lot lately. But in fact, the real constitutional crisis is taking place within our judicial branch, where district court judge.
Now, I'll set aside her response. It was fine. I'm not being dismissive, but let's just talk about what's happening here and why it's happening. You may be tempted to argue against it being a constitutional crisis. Maybe you've even said something, or I know for a fact you've heard something. We don't have a constitutional crisis. We have a Democrat crisis or a corruption crisis. Or maybe you're trying to shoot it down like that. But remember, always, always, always remember, the communist lies at all times. At all times. Whatever comes out of his mouth, it's never, ever, 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 ever genuine, ever. He's not allowed to tell the truth. That's part of your training. When you come up as a young Democrat, you know, you are taught, it is baked into the cake. Lie without end at all times because you're trying to get somewhere. You don't have time for things like the truth.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
But what he knows is he knows he has legions of morons in this country who listen when he puts out the exact same language. The communist is programmable. The communist is a herd animal. So this actually comes down to your liberal Aunt Peggy. She's going to walk into work tomorrow. Maybe you work with a liberal Aunt Peggy. Maybe she's actually your aunt. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your daughter. I don't know who it is. The liberal Aunt Peggy in your life, the next time you run into them, if you get them on politics, which they're always on politics, let's be honest, they're going to mention the term constitutional crisis. And you're going to look at them oddly because They've never used that term before. In fact, the Constitution is not exactly something they love or care about at all. But you see, the Ilhan Omars, the Chuck Schumers, the media people, they are the ones handing out the talking points. They are the hive mind, and the hive mind is designed so your liberal Aunt Peggy will plug into it, get a programming update, a talking points update, and then she will go and disseminate those talking points to the masses. That's how it works. Think of a big evil floating robot. It's over New York City. It's this gigantic evil floating robot the size of New York City. And I want you to think about every single Democrat you know. Everyone you know. They are little mini flying robots with little cords attached to them. And they always have to go back up to the big robot over New York to plug it in and get a programming update. What are the newest talking points? What are the newest this? And remember, they're just getting talking points. That's all they're getting from the hive mind. There's no depth of thought. There's no depth on any one of the things they bring up because they're herd animals. They're not interested in any depth at all. Just tell me what I'm supposed to say. Tell me my latest update. And the latest one is constitutional crisis. And the communists actually do this very, very, very well. They are purposeful with their language. They choose their language carefully. And once they decide on the words they want used, they are draconian. They are strict with each other about sticking with those words. You will hear constitutional crisis over and over and over and over and over again from Democrat politicians and people in the media. And you will begin, if you have not already, you will begin to hear it from the Democrat in your life. We have a real constitutional crisis. And what's really going to make you laugh? Because as I just said, there's no depth of thought to it. They don't have any idea what they're talking about. What's going to make you laugh? Don't respond in anger. Don't respond in anger. Have fun with them. When the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life brings up constitutional crisis, ask her questions about why. A constitutional crisis? How so? Ask the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life to explain herself. She'll never be able to. That's why the communists, you know, whoever they may be, they only do really ever one of three things whenever they are challenged with probing questions. They most of the time will try to change the subject. It's what Trump would do. Or they love to throw out names, really, really vile, bomb-throwing names that'll get an emotional response from you. That is also, oddly enough, in an effort to change the subject, to get you off of the subject at hand. So your liberal Aunt Peggy, she walks into your house this weekend and says, "We've got a constitutional crisis!" And you calmly say, "Oh, gosh, really? That sounds serious. Could you explain to me why it's a constitutional crisis?" "Whatever, Nazi!" That's what they know how to do. Or if they can't change the subject and they can't get you off your game by calling you a Nazi, they'll just simply lie. "Trump's violated the 14th Amendment." What? That's not true. What are you talking about? Always remember, when you hear Democrats and people in the media using the same term over and over and over and over and over again, they have chosen that term for a reason. And what they're doing is slowly but surely disseminating that term out to the brain dead losers in your life. Those would be the Democrats. And that's why the Democrat in your life will use the term constitutional crisis. The person who has no use for the Constitution whatsoever. The person who despises things like the Second Amendment. And they'll bend over backwards every chance they get. "Second Amendment? Well, that was when we had muskets." Or "the Second Amendment was never even absolute." Whenever they have a chance to gain power and control over you, they will take a steaming dump all over the Constitution, light it on fire in front of you, and then pee on the ashes. But as soon as they feel like they have a way to get a leg up on you, or they're trying to defend themselves, constitutional crisis it becomes, over and over and over
and
again.
And what we are witnessing is a constitutional crisis. And what we are witnessing is a constitutional crisis. And what we are witnessing is a constitutional crisis.
You will hear that term without end. And if they stop using that term, the only reason they would stop using it is not because of you shot it down with facts or any of that other stuff. It would be if the poll testing on it shows it's not working. Right now, they're throwing words against the wall, trying to stop the Trump administration, trying to stop the popularity. That really, we've talked about it before, that's really the shield that is protecting this administration 3 weeks in. It's popular. Yeah, I know he's doing things you love and I love. That's great, but you and I don't decide those things. It's the norms and normas in the world. If they're happy with the administration's going to keep going. If they're starting to sour on it, politicians tend to stop going. Right now, it's so popular, Democrats are desperate. Pure Talk's popular, too. Pure Talk's growing like gangbusters. International roaming now. But Pure Talk's, I love them so much. And it does my heart well to see a company that shares my values growing the way it's growing. Because people, what it tells me is you're putting your money where your morals are. The American people have had enough of funding Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. They've had enough. They've had enough of giving their money to corporations who hate them. Pure Talk's sitting there. They're on the same network, so you're not sacrificing coverage. They're giving out things like free iPhone 14s right now with a qualifying plan, which is $45 a month. That's it. Good luck finding that somewhere else. Pure Talk, their CEO is a veteran, and they hire Americans. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll do some emails before we get to this J.D. Vance AI stuff. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, was that a whole lot of love from Led Zeppelin? Could you maybe have picked a better 10 seconds to come back to? I feel like I was on drugs there. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Love, hate, death threats, all are welcome. Ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday, but let's get some emails because I'm way behind. Jesse, you are right about the Palestinians in Gaza not necessarily dreaming of a condo and a job. Even if Trump had the same plan for the Bronx, he'd be hit with the same outcome. She said, why doesn't Trump see this? This goes to what I've been saying about the Gaza thing. Trump wants to take control of it. He wants us to own it, wants to turn it into a nice place with hotels and condos. And it's a great location for that. And I've, of course, been saying the Palestinians, the terrorists, they're going to have an issue with that. They don't want a condo. They don't want a job at the Ritz-Carlton. They believe that land belongs to them from long ago. Now, she said, why doesn't Trump see that? Well, this is going to sound like I'm making excuses for him, and it's not. It's just a reason. It's just a reason. Some human beings, especially people of high accomplishment, they see things in ways that you and I do not ever see things. You know, Elon Musk, this is actually a great example. Elon Musk, I don't have any idea what he's worth. I know he's the richest man on Earth. It's billions and billions and billions of dollars. Let's call it $50 billion, although I think that's short. I think he's worth more than that. But we'll just, for the sake of my argument, we'll call it $50 billion. Now, you. If you were to have $50 billion given to you tomorrow, we'll call it tax-free. It's in you wake up, it's in your checking account. Or maybe it's gold bars if you're Bob Menendez. Quit. But $50 billion given to you. How would the rest of your life look? What would you do the rest of your life? Maybe, Chris said it's $383 billion is worth what he's worth. Whatever, I'm sticking with $50 billion. $50 billion. If I gave you $50 billion, what would you do the rest of your life? Now, right now, You're doing that thing we've all done. We've all played this game before. What if I gave you $10 million, but you're doing that thing right now, $50 billion? You would probably retire, unless you kind of have like a cushy job you enjoy. Maybe you'd still keep going to the office. But even if you'd still keep going to the office, do you think you'd be trying to get a promotion? Would you be working hard, busting your butt to get a promotion? No, no. When I say I'm going to hand you $50 billion, I'll tell you, for me, I immediately think about things I would do with it. Things for me. Yeah, some things for others. But I think, oh, I'm going to finally buy that yacht and take the World War II trip we've talked about before through the Pacific. And I'm going to do this. I'll give this to veterans. And I'm immediately thinking about everything I'm going to do. But I'll tell you what I'm not going to do if you hand me $50 billion. I'm not going to try to turn it into $200 billion. Why do I care? I have $50 billion. It's more money than I'll ever be able to spend in my life by a long shot. More money than my kids will ever blow. I'm not going to stress that. Elon Musk is worth $383 billion. And as we speak, Elon Musk is trying to go to Mars and colonize it. What? Wait, what? He came out today and announced that he intends to cut $2 trillion from the debt. $2 trillion. Wait, what? Two, three years ago, Elon Musk bought one of the largest social media companies on earth. $383 billion? Why do you give a crap about Mars? And to be honest, even if you are an Uber citizen, he's currently, from what I believe, he either is already or he's going to, he's currently sleeping in the White House to work round the clock to cut money from the budget. Why are you buying Twitter? You're worth three. I wouldn't do that with $383 billion. You might not either. But there are guys like that, these high accomplishment people. If they climbed Mount Everest, they would be disgusted that there's not a higher mountain they can climb anywhere. These types of people have existed throughout history. Donald Trump is the billionaire, former and current President of the United States of America. His name is all over golf courses and hotels around the globe long after he's dead and gone. If the communists assassinated him tonight, God forbid, but if he died tonight, the Trump name would be legendary through the ages. But guys like that, Trump looks at Greenland and thinks, I want it. You could tell Trump through your blue in the face that those Hamas savages are going to come back and they're going to blow up whatever hotel you put in Palestine. But guys like that don't see problems. Even if they do see them, all they see is a new thing they're going to overcome. You tell Elon Musk all the reasons he can't colonize Mars. Well, that's not how he thinks. He sees a frontier unconquered and he wants to go conquer it. That's how those guys think. I've known guys like that before in my life. Now, the sad part is most of the time they're miserable because you never get to a point of satisfaction. You never get to a point of contentment. It's just conquer, 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 conquer. You conquer till you die, like Alexander the Great. But they're generally people of high achievement or horrific achievement, which way you look at it. Hitler was one of those guys. Didn't work out that well for everybody. All right, let's do this J.D. Vance AI stuff. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and it is just such a wonderful time at this exact moment to be an American, to watch things turn around, to watch things improve. I know we have a laundry list of problems, and I promise you we have more troubles coming. That's how it goes, but make sure you're allowing yourself to enjoy this moment. Soak it in and enjoy things turning around. Enjoy what we're seeing right now. And think about what might have been. What might have been. Think about this, because I told you I was gonna play it for you. J.D. Vance, he's impressed everybody. I don't think I've heard a negative word about him in forever. I'm so impressed by J.D. Vance so far. J.D. Vance went over to Europe for a conference, an AI conference, artificial intelligence for the older types. Don't feel bad if you don't understand AI. I don't freaking get it at all, but I roughly understand what we're dealing with here. I've seen Terminator 2. I know how this ends, but artificial intelligence. Now, keep in mind, artificial intelligence, as much as you may hate it, and I'll be honest, I really don't care for it at all. It's inevitable. You cannot stop it. There are so many things that people are figuring out what to do with it, how they do things with it, that 50 years from now, it will be everywhere in everything. And very similar to what cell phones have become, we will wonder how we ever lived without it. That's just the truth. It's one of those technological things. I actually asked my dad one time, God rest his soul, about construction. Now, you know that I started working in construction with my dad when I was 15, 16 years old, just in a ditch, the worst jobs possible. But eventually, before I started running for Congress, I'd moved into kind of project management type stuff. And you're just on the phone all the time. All the time. You were ordering this, stopping that, taking cell phone calls. And I asked my dad one time, you came up doing this before there was such a thing as a mobile phone ever. How is that? How did you even do it? How could you? For me, because I'd never existed doing that kind of stuff, running, managing projects like that. I'd never done it before, a cell phone. For me, it just seemed like an impossible task. Because that's technology. That's how it works. So that's what AI will be. Now let's discuss how the communists look at it. Remember, the communists are mortified about certain technological advancements because they can quickly get out of their control. And all communism requires control. It requires force, or no one would abide by it. No one would ever follow along with it. They cannot have you just hearing alternate opinions. That's why they love censorship so much. And the Biden administration, because of course, as we said, the cadaver president wasn't running anything, was run by real, genuine, full-blown Marxists. Because of that, well, they decided they wanted to seize control of it. Remember Mark Andreessen? Mark Andreessen, he's that guy, former lib, two-time Obama voter, he came out before the election, or Mark Andreessen, I'm sorry. He came out before the election and said he's voting for Donald Trump. And a lot of people were stunned by that. But he put out a little video and he explained why. And it had to do with AI. Listen to what he said.
The meetings were absolutely horrifying, and we came out basically deciding we had to endorse Trump.
What did you hear in those meetings?
AI is a technology basically that the government is going to completely control. This is not going to be a startup thing. They actually said flat out to us, don't do AI startups. Like, don't fund AI startups. It's not something that we're going to allow to happen. They're not going to be allowed to exist. There's no point. They basically said AI is going to be a game of two or three big companies working closely with the government, and we're going to basically wrap them in a, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but we're going to basically wrap them in a government cocoon. We're going to protect them from competition. We're going to control them, and we're going to dictate what they do. And then I said, I don't understand how you're going to lock this down so much, because like the math for, you know, AI is like out there and it's being taught everywhere. And, you know, they literally said, well, you know, during the Cold War, we classified entire areas of physics and took them out of the research community, and like entire branches of physics basically went dark and didn't proceed. And that if we decide we need to, we're going to do the same thing to the math underneath AI.
Wow.
And I said, I've just learned two very important things, because I wasn't aware of the former, and I wasn't aware that you were, you know, even conceiving of doing it to the latter.
The communists saw something he needed to control, something that he could use exclusively for his purposes. The federal government was essentially just going to start big companies, or just have their people run big companies and start yet another gangster government thing, to ensure whatever lies they wanted pushed out there were lies that were also backed by AI. Take this new, powerful technology, immediately get their greedy communist claws on it to ensure they could continue to censor people, to make sure they block out the truth, to make sure they can lie without end. And Europe, the European socialist countries, have been all over this exact same thing for the exact same reason. Remember, in obviously slightly different ways, depending on which country you're in, Europe is going through exactly what we are going through, exactly what we have been going through. A bunch of evil, dirty communists took over the European countries. They're trying the best they can to turn these countries into totalitarian communist hellholes where they censor people, throw people in jail for opinions that criticize government policy. This is happening across the UK, Germany, France. It's bad, really, really bad over there. And they were going to be able to do this with AI. J.D. Vance went over. It's just so refreshing to have this. J.D. Vance went over there and stood in front of all these European leaders and told them this.
We need international regulatory regimes that fosters the creation of AI technology rather than strangles it. And we need our European friends in particular to look to this new frontier with optimism rather than trepidation. Many of our most productive tech companies are forced to deal with the EU's Digital Services Act and the massive regulations it created about taking down content and policing so-called misinformation. And of course, we want to ensure the internet is a safe place, but it is one thing to prevent a predator from preying on a child on the internet, and it is something quite different to prevent a grown man or woman from accessing an opinion that the government thinks is misinformation. Meanwhile, for smaller firms, navigating the GDPR means paying endless legal compliance costs or otherwise risking massive fines. Now, for some, the easiest way to avoid the dilemma has been to simply block EU users in the first place. Is this really the future that we want, ladies and gentlemen? I think the answer for all of us should be no.
You heard what he said. The EU trying to control everything, trying to turn into an evil tyranny, has already said, no, you can't do this, you can't do that, you're not allowed to say this, you're not allowed to say that. And if we had not, as a country, voted Joe Biden out of office in November, the United States of America would have run artificial intelligence the exact same way. Control, censor. You're not allowed to say this. We'll arrest you for saying that. This isn't allowed. And the impact of that, I can't tell you, because AI, like I said, it's going to be so big, it can't be stopped. There's nothing you can do to stop it. There's nothing I can do to stop it, no matter what your concerns are or my concerns are. We almost, in its infancy, lost it to the communists. The Biden administration, they were simply going to lock it down and ensure that it could be used against you and your freedoms for the rest of your life. But it stopped now. Man, that feels freaking good. That feels really, really freaking good. I'm not going to lie. Jesse, thank you for Rough Greens. My dog loves it. Very, very short and to the point. My dog loves it too. I guess I should probably explain that to you about Rough Greens, the all-natural nutritional supplement that you sprinkle on your dog's food. Your dog's going to love it. It tastes better than your dog's food because it's actually alive. That live vitamins and things like that, vitamins and minerals and digestive enzymes and stuff. Why do you think your dog begs at the table every time you make bacon and kind of has to be forced over to the dog bowl? Because dog food sucks. There's no nutrition in it. It's dead. Not only will Rough Greens give you a healthier dog or cat, they have Meow Greens too, you'll see the differences. The difference in Fred's coat is amazing. His breath, which used to be wanting, I'll tell you that much. His digestive problems. Rough Greens, you will see the difference, and your dog will be so much healthier, and they love it. It's not like you got to force it on them. You don't have to change out your dog's food. Just sprinkle some Rough Greens on it. They give out free bags at 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Gosh, it's been such a magnificent day. I don't want to wake up tomorrow. I wish I'd put that differently. I definitely do want to wake up tomorrow, but you understand what I'm saying. It's been a great day. Whatever. Jesse, I like mashed potatoes. You gave me an idea. Crispy on the outside, mushy on the inside. What if you deep fried mashed potatoes? You could call them Jesse Kelly potatoes. Okay. Stop trying to make mashed potatoes a thing, all right? Stop trying to make mashed potatoes a thing. It's not going to work. I don't even care if you deep fry them. That's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Oh, did you see this? There's an article. You can now buy a huge 10 kilogram tub of peanut butter. As if anybody knows what a kilogram is. How pathetic. Jesse, when do you think was the first sign of communism making its way into America? I know you say Obama's the biggest contributor to it, but when do you think it first started? His name is Bradley. Well, Obama put into overdrive a car on a road that had been paved for decades for him. Barack Obama could never have accomplished all the evil crap he accomplished without decades and decades and decades of work of the communists who came before him. Even Obama wouldn't really acknowledge that. But look, I talk about this. Many people have before. Go pick up the Anti-Communist Manifesto available today in paperback. What, Chris? Available at jessekellyshow.com. No, but seriously, even if you don't pick it up, don't worry about that. The Soviets brought this here on purpose back in the early 1900s. We were enemies with the Soviet Union about half a second after it became the Soviet Union. We immediately recognized that international communism was horrible for humanity and a threat to us. And they recognized that the free market, the freedom of America, was a terrible, terrible threat to them. So I know we had this period of time during World War II where our dirtball president FDR, who was half a communist himself, decided to align with Stalin and hand that scumbag half of Europe. But setting that part aside, pre-World War II, the communists were trying to worm their way in to the United States of America. Unions, teachers' unions, newspapers. How do we get in there and infiltrate? Remember, it's an infiltrating religion, too. It's always been that way. Always trying to worm their way through wherever they can to grab little choke points of power. It's been around since. What we're seeing now is the fruits of 100 years of labor. Jesse, do you think President Trump should use the line item veto with the next omnibus bill presented to him. His name's Dave. So there's so much great going on right now. You don't want to talk about the rough stuff. But I brought up earlier, the Fed chairman has said, I don't know when mortgage rates are going to go down. I'm here to tell you that I don't think inflation is going to go down. I haven't seen any indication of that whatsoever, none. And that's a big deal. Now, they're cutting this and cutting that out of the federal budget. So that might fight relief, or we might find some relief there as we cut all this waste and garbage out of the government. It might. But in the end, we still have to address the fact that the federal government takes in $5 trillion and spends $7 trillion a year. The United States of America has been unable to stay within a $5 trillion budget. In fact, they blew it out. Until that changes, then the cost of the things in our life doesn't go down. Now, is the Trump administration going to pick that fight? Because they're not going to do a line item veto thing. What they're going to do, what it would require, would be Trump doing something he's really not had any appetite for in the past, and I don't know that he's going to now. It would require Trump telling Congress, don't send me anything that's not, you know, balanced budget. Don't send me anything that doesn't cut out this and cut out that or cut out that, because I will veto it. I will veto it. Now, that has never been Trump's hot button issue. And I've been critical of him in the past when it comes to that, but he's cutting so much out with this government waste stuff now. He's cutting more than other Republicans have cut. So at this point in time, I'm going to have to go ahead and give the man some props for it. He's cutting out things, but I don't remember. I mean, gosh, I don't remember since Reagan, a president, really sitting down and taking this huge stack of a budget or bill they sent him and saying, get this out of here. I'm not signing that crap. Go trim this down and bring me back something else. And if we're going to actually get inflation under control, it may take that. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is the economy will be growing. It's no question. Just the energy sector growing alone will help. The deregulation will help. Hopefully, we can grow our way back into the standard of living we knew a few short years ago. But the actual inflation going down, I don't know, because that's what it would take. It would take vetoing these bills. And like I told you, like I warned you, I think there's a big bill coming. The people I know in Congress tell me there's a big old fatty coming our way.
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Showdown. FEMA officials order grant funding freeze despite court ruling. Yes, it's obvious the Trump administration is not going to wait months and months and months for the Supreme Court to try to stop these ridiculous judges. They're going to have to start challenging these judges. It's going to be an ugly dogfight. These people are freaking out the way they're freaking out about all these cuts for a reason. It's their very life. They will freak out and fight tooth and nail. Ex-Democratic insider reveals Biden's presidency is Obama's third term. Wow, what a shock. Texas gains another big employer at California's expense. This is Realtor.com. Man, California, how bad do you have to make it to have people flee paradise? Golly. FBI leaker caught tipping off Venezuelan gang ahead of ICE raids. I know we've been talking about this story. Just a reminder how infiltrated we are. Much work to do still. Donald Trump declares war on the cartels. His plan could change everything. That's yet another thing happening right now we haven't even dug into yet. And I ran out of time. It was only 3 hours tonight. I guess you're going to have to wait. We'll be back tomorrow to do it again. That's all.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.